Welcome to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com, the show dedicated to green initiatives. Now, here's your host, Percy Dyer.
Welcome back to Percival's Place. My name is Percival, and this is my place. And today, since we've had so many of you to call to me and to email me about the last previous guest, we decided back here that we would push all the other future guests into the future, and we would bring Merrilee back on. So, Merrilee, how are you, Mama?
First of all, I am doing awesome this morning. Here in California, it's beautiful. How could I not be?
Well, you see, I don't know what you said to these people last week, but it must have struck a chord because I had to push all my guests back 1 week, which I guess they think they didn't mind, you know. And I said, well, that's all right. As long as everybody's okay with it, I'm okay with it, too.
That is the sweetest thing ever.
Well, I mean, hey, I don't know. It wasn't my deal. It wasn't my deal. It wasn't my idea. The people wanted it, so the people have it. So,
Well, thank you to everybody who did that. I really, really appreciate it. And I really hope that I can do the same this week.
Listen to you. Oh, my goodness. So this is what I'm going to do right at the top of the hour. I want you to give your contact information so that they can call you instead of calling me. Okay, how about that?
Absolutely. Okay, so my contact number is 909-908-4592.
Okay,
908-4592. You get it?
Perfect. All right, Mama. So listen, we're gonna do a continuation of last week so that the people listening will they can combine the two shows and really get some good information. So let's talk about last week. But before we get into that, I understand that you found that $1 trillion ticket for me. Is that correct?
Yep. I'm glad you found it. Did you put it in your pocket?
Well, you know.
You know what? The thing is, first of all, everybody's worried about money all the time. And so I just decided to post that and say, look, here's your first million. Put it in your pocket, relax, and enjoy the day. So many people forget to do that part.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Uh-oh. You didn't do it.
What can I tell you? I'm just lost in the woods.
We've got one life to live. One day at a time. If you're chasing that dollar every single day, you're not experiencing joy.
I understand.
Yeah.
I'm chasing $1 trillion, though.
Well, you know what? It's better to attract it than to follow it.
It's much easier,
I tell you that.
All right.
The secret is to be attractive.
All right. But anyway, look, let's continue on with last week. So the last subject that we were on parenting, right?
Yep, parenting. Love it.
Okay. So let's go back to that a little bit. Tell us one of the last points that you were making on the show was about bullying in school and that kind of thing and how to deal with those people and what have you. Right. So let's go back to that for a little while and then we can talk about relationships and other topics like that. So let's just finish that up real quick, and then let's go into relationships after the break.
Okay. So bullying, it is a big issue right now. And I think it's always been there, but, you know, it's easier for kids to bully now because of technology. You know, they can be the coward that they really are, hiding behind a screen and, you know, sending text messages or emails or whatever to that person. And really, you know, just taunting them and in the process not coming out and really exposing who they are. So that, again, goes back to what we were talking about, you know, in the raising of these children. And that's where parenting comes in. Mm-hmm. So as far as we'll talk about the bully, you know, let me back up just a little bit. parenting. There's two things that we take for granted as a society. One of them is handling money, understanding money, and two is raising children. How do we do that? And okay. Raising children, it's very, very simple. The problem is we complicate the heck out of it because our egos get in the way. And basically, our manual tells us to what? Love thy neighbor. Our child is no different. Our child is absolutely no different. And blessed are the children. And why? Because their spirit is so pure. When they're born into this world, they fear nothing. And because they know that everything will be provided, that they're just pure at heart. And that's how we want to stay. Unfortunately, what happens is as we grow, the way of the world teaches us to fear. And our parents teach us to live in fear. And our parents actually threaten us in fear. You know, we better get the good grades. We better not do certain things. You know, you don't smoke and drink. You don't just, but it's fear, fear, fear. And that's guiding them in the wrong direction. And what happens is, excuse me, these children grow up not knowing really who they are. They're only knowing rules. And okay. It's the same through our school system. Our school system does the same thing. They teach us how to take tests. They're teaching us about math, English, science, et cetera, and get through the test. But they're not teaching us about who we are. So if you're not doing that as a parent at home, then that cycle continues generation after generation.
Well, I agree with that. You know, I was just having a conversation with my friend David, who also works with me. And, you know, to piggyback on that, you know, not only does the American system here teach you how to take a test, but that's what they basically tell you. They tell you how to pass the test, but they're not really teaching you the actual science. You know,
exactly.
It's about passing the test. It's about, you know, getting through to the next grade in a certain amount of time. It's not really, you know, actually learning the subject the way they really should teach it. You know, and that's very true for college, even more so than even grade school, because it's all about, you know, getting out at a certain time and finishing and then getting out in the workforce. So the British system, however, is more geared towards making sure that you understand the subject matter and then going on to the next level. So it's a different system, but that's why, you know, you have you know, more people coming here to the United States for our educational system because they can get in and get out and get in the workforce and start making money, which is the crux of the problem. But that's not dealing with parenting. That's just going off on a tangent. But, you know, just to make sure that, you know, everybody is aware that, you know, that's what happens in the school system, though.
Right. And what that reminds me of is appearances. You know, if I could be so bold, but, you know, the American way is about appearances. You know, we are the strongest. We're the best and the prettiest and the this and this, this and that. And and falling into those test taking, you know, if we can be the smartest as well and show our test results, then we're meeting this standard that we're setting ourselves at. But, you know, we need to back up a little bit. We're not all about tests and appearances. You know, we have a higher power we need to answer to. And in that, that's who we find out who we are, and that's through personal development. But that's where our joy is. And if you ask yourself, or anybody, what it is, what are you looking for? What is the end result? And it's joy. You want to be happy. I'm searching for happiness, and I believe that if I graduate with high marks, I'll be happy because then I'll get a job that'll pay me more money, and then I'll be happy because then I can afford a good wife, and I'll be happy.
Yeah,
you know, it just goes on and on.
That's right. It does. Exactly right. I can afford a good wife. You're right. I mean, that's a lot of motivation for a lot of men, by the way. That's why we're ending up in divorce so much, because you can find those women out there who will, you know, who will say, yeah, now you can afford me. And, you know, but it always ends up in divorce anyway, you know. Uh-huh. But again,
Do you really think that's what it is? It comes down to that? Women just say, you can't afford me.
Well, there are those women that, you know, that are into that. I mean, if you're not making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, at the minimum. You know, you're not going to be able to afford me, and I'm not going to marry you. Because why?
Right.
Why? I know the struggle, so I'm already in it. Why do I need to struggle with you? I can do that by myself.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? That's interesting, because when you look at it at face value, it looks really cold. You know, like women are horrible and you know, so materialistic. But maybe, you know, on a deeper level, and I'm not saying all women are like this, but you're looking at the man saying, okay, this is all you make, whatever that number is. But you're looking at the character of the man saying, what about your dreams? Why are you satisfied in this job that's not paying you what you're worth? If you don't know your value, then I can't instill it in you. And so you don't respect the man.
But that's true. But
so
see, the only problem with that theory that women have, if there are some women who are doing that, is not everybody needs to make a lot of money to find their self-worth. And that's the issue. That's the issue. Because if you're a teacher, you're not making that kind of money. But they found their self-worth. So, I mean, so for the woman that absolutely says, well, you're only making $45,000 to $50,000. Why would I want to be with you when I look this way? I know the struggle. I can get somebody who makes, you know, X amount of money. So it really isn't about that. And that's the thing that those particular women need to realize. It's not about what he's making in terms of finances. Has he found his self-worth? If he has,
let's back up a little bit, because it seems just a little bit biased. If this teacher who's making $45,000 a year wants to have this, you know, this beauty queen, right? And you're saying, but wait a minute. And you're saying that he, you know, she's not willing to be with him because he's not making more money. If that's what he aspires to have and knows this, then why is he expecting her to lower her expectations or her value?
No, I'm saying those particular women who are just looking for that. I'm not suggesting that particular teacher may want that. That particular teacher may not want that. What I'm suggesting is that those particular women, that's why I phrased it the way I did, those particular women who are looking for someone who may run into the person who is absolutely correct for them, maybe that particular teacher who is not making that money.
How can that even be? First of all,
that happens every day.
Well, wait a minute. No, because I need to ask that particular woman that you're talking about. What is that? A beauty queen? The beautiful woman that wants somebody who's making $100,000?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It could be any woman that's walking the street. It could be anybody.
Okay.
But these particular women who have this particular desire are saying that they have this desire because they don't want to be in this particular, tax bracket, so to speak. I mean, that's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, there's twofold there. With that woman, okay, and I run into this a lot too, is that women seek a man that has all those things that you're talking about, but they never seem to look in the mirror and say, what do I have to offer that would attract this man?
They just naturally assume that
they're going to put their checklist out there, and that's the man they're going to wait for, and they don't find it.
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and listen, it's the same thing for men. Now, we're actually jumping from parenting to the relationship part now. But it's the same thing for men, because there are men, and not all men, but there's men who just base what they're looking for in terms of looks. They don't go any, you know, further than what they see in front. It's like, listen, you know, you may need to examine this just a little bit closer before you decide to go for it. You know, and you know, there's a sector of men that just base everything that they want on looks. They have a problem too because they fall into the same trap. And, you know, because I was a fireman here in Long Island, you know, I listened to those conversations all day long. And after they've gotten what they've, you know, what they thought they wanted, it's not cracked up, you know, what they really, you know.
Right.
So it's the same thing, you know. So these people now, you know, they missed the boat. In other words, they're wasting their time, you know. So, right. I mean, but in terms of wellness and happiness, they have to learn how to seek beyond what they're looking for. They have no clue as to what they're doing anyway. But that's what you're here for.
Right.
So what you're here to do now is you're here. You know what? We're
at
119.
Can I just comment on that real quick?
Okay. Well, all right. Let's take the break and let's come on right back to Percival's Place.
Welcome back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com. Here's Percy Dyer.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, Merrily, go ahead. So, finish your point.
Okay, so I just want to finish my thought on those last two things. Excuse me. Huh? First thing is on the bullying for kids. You know, this whole technology is really the problem, and I don't believe that the kids all the way through. Oh, gosh. I mean, really, through high school, but even at least till eighth grade, they just don't need to have a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram. They have no business on those things. They're just opening themselves up to the bullying and the abuse. So that's my point on that. The second thing was on the relationships. You know, we're having fun with that little conversation, and we could bounce that ball back and forth all day long. But basically... Yeah. If I could put a blanket statement on the whole thing, it boils down to a very superficial dysfunction among men and women.
That's
so we
need
to get down to the heart of it to really rectify the situation and create some lasting relationships.
That's right, and I agree with that. So, but let's go back to your first point with parenting for a moment. So, you think there should be some limitations on, you know, what these kids have access to, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I think so too. You know, parenting today has to be a little different than it was even, but I mean, I think it's essentially the same, but you have to be more aware of what's going on out here with these children because, you know, all of that social networking and all that kind of thing, it's great, but it does have a double-edged sword and you really do have to be conscious of it. You know, if I was having a child today, I would definitely really be looking at, you know, the Facebook, anything that they can get their hands on. I mean, even television. I think television has changed so much since my time, you know, that I would really have to screen, you know, what they're doing and what they're looking at. And, you know, I would want my kids to be a little bit more active, I think, than some of these kids are today. You know, not enough children anyway plays football out in the street like we used to and all that kind of thing. So, you know, we really have to find avenues like that to make sure that they stay healthy and active and all that kind of business. So, you know, I would definitely put some restrictions on what they're doing today versus what we had access to, you know, years ago. I think you're right about that. So,
well,
I mean,
again,
you think eighth grade what grade do you think that they should have a Facebook account and all that kind of business?
No.
When do you think they're able to do all that?
The reality is they don't need it. They just don't need it. You know, social media platform has become a business platform. You know, for adults, it's how we communicate, it's how you stay in touch, plugged in, advertise. You know, and it's a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
But for kids, they're not doing business. They're just doing drama. You know, they don't know what to post. They put themselves out there. They put pictures of themselves that have no business out there. They have comments and profanity. And, you know, they just sensationalize the drama that's already there.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, with that, it's like if we could as parents pull back and say, you know what, let's not worry about keeping up with Apple. You know,
right.
I don't care if it's a new phone. I don't care if it's a new iPad or whatever. They don't need it. They just don't. And our budget doesn't need it either.
You ain't
kidding. So we really can't keep up with the Joneses of, well, everybody in America has this. Every kid wants this. And, oh, I can't let my kid go without. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm there, too. I mean, my kids, you know, they have their phones, and my older boys have Instagrams and stuff. And but I honestly believe at a younger age, you know, if you can hold off on those things, the longer the better, and work on their substance, on these kids' core, and give them a true foundation, then they're not going to be subject to all that drama later on.
Right.
So their character will be in place.
Right.
And that's where parenting comes in. Yeah.
I think you hit it. I think you're right. No, I think that's a good tool not to, that's perfect.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk more about the relationships now. So how do you believe somebody can find a healthy relationship, have a healthy relationship rather?
How do you begin to find a healthy relationship? It starts with yourself. You have to have a healthy relationship with yourself. You have to be able to be alone with yourself. You know, you have to be able to look in the mirror and answer, who am I? You know, what do I stand for? You know your actions, your involvement, your commitments. You know, so many people that I deal with are victims of circumstance. You know, it's the same grind every day. You, in the beginning, when you were a child, you're subject to, obviously, whatever upbringing you had, any dysfunction, any ghost in the closet, whatever it was from your parents that you have no clue about. But those things are passed down. So you do the best you can because that's your household.
Right.
Then as you, so now depending on how that is, you know, you get a little older, now you're subject to your friends. Now it's like, I want to know who I am through my friends' eyes. How do they see me? And now you want to be popular, and you want to dress a certain way. You want to act a certain way. But you're trying to fit in. You're not going within. That's the difference. And then it goes through society. So now society is directing us to say, look, you got to get your education. You got to go to college or else you mean nothing. And so we're following the same path. And I'm not saying anything bad about schooling or college. I'm just talking about the path. In order to get there, you know, so many of us need to have school loans. And that's one of the biggest problems here in the United States are school loans.
Right.
And, you know, once these kids graduate, now they're wanting to find a job that can afford that loan. And they're behind the eight ball. So, as you see, there's really not a lot of time to soul search, to find out who you are and to dictate your life. To have any direction whatsoever, because you already been steered in this way. So now, let's say you landed a job that is like, oh, you're just thankful that you have a job. You're doing the best you can. Now you find somebody you fall in love with. You don't have time to know if that's the right person or not, because you were in stage one romantic love.
Uh-huh.
So you're willing to say, okay, I'm jumping in. I want this. I want you. I want family. Let's do this. Let's make it work. It's later when the kids come in, it all comes to fruition. It's like, yes, when the dysfunction starts to be exposed.
Sure.
You have to back up, and say, oh, my gosh, what have I been doing and what am I passing on to my kids? And it goes over and over again. And so that's why when I say, you know, parenting is from the heart. And I can give you a simple way to raise our kids that, you know, you may or may not believe me, but it's from the heart. It starts with our manual. Our manual says to love thy neighbor. Our children are no different. When that child comes in, you must remember to love the child. And it's funny how parents will treat their children differently as they get, you know, like 4, 5, 6 years old, when they start having a little mind and attitude of their own and they're acting out, and they don't know how to control this child. And so, of course, they have to, you know, put their authority out there and straighten them out. So to go back to relationships, you know, with the person that you love, hopefully there's a little bit more respect there. You see what I'm saying? You don't treat your spouse the way you treat that child. You don't belittle them, and you don't try to correct them. You're hopefully trying to act in love with respect and integrity. So, but we don't do that with our children. It's like there's an exception to the rule somehow, and that's wrong. It's just completely wrong.
Right.
So we need to continue to be respectful to that child in all circumstances. So when that child is acting up in the store, let's just say you have a basket full of groceries, and now all of a sudden this child says, you know, Mommy, I want this toy, and starts to throw a fit.
Right.
You know, you must maintain composure, act in love, and instead of lowering yourself to behave like the child and start acting out in public and making you both look bad, you need to change the child's state. Have the courage to leave the basket, pick up the child, and leave the store. A lot of people will not do that. Oh, no, this is the only time I have to grocery shopping. You're going to behave, and I'm going to spank you and yell at you, and I'm going to take away your toys, and I'm going to take away TV forever, and I'm going to threaten, fear, 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 fear. All you have to do is pick up the child and change his state. You know, go outside for a little bit and just tell him, when you calm down, when you're ready, we'll go back in. It's just that's all you have to do. And that works through every situation, you know, whether it be overeating or smoking or whatever. You change your state. You have that urge, and you go, I recognize it, and move on to something else very quickly. And when you break those patterns, then they're corrected. And that's how we raise our children. Correct them easily and with love. So that what you're trying to do is you're accepting this child from God, saying, okay, I promise to take care of him. You blessed me with this child. I will bring him to you. So from the age of, you know, from birth until this child is able to go on his own, think on his own, I'm going to raise him lovingly, respectfully, and encourage his dreams so that when, you know, when God is in the work, and taking over his heart, listening to his intuition, he can follow his dreams, live in faith, and actually live the joy he's supposed to.
Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But let's go for a moment. But I think that's sound advice. But let's go for a moment. There's a point there that you mentioned. Dysfunctional behavior when you are entering into a marriage, when you're in a marriage rather.
Right.
Are there any signs that would that come up that, you know, that people should recognize that, you know, that's something dysfunctional, and
there's
how
plenty.
Would they address that?
Well, okay. Let's see, where do I start? First of all, okay, we need to know ourselves. Okay. What that means is that we have the ability to pick and choose the characteristics that we want to live out. If we want to be loving people, if we want to be happy people, we want to encourage others, you know, we want to foster growth. There's, you know, we have integrity. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to keep my word. All of these things. Once you make that decision that this is the person I'm going to be, you must stick to it. So, and the world will test you. The universe will throw stuff at you and say, look, here's a test. You're going to pass it because this is what you said you were going to be. Are you a giver? Well, now I'm giving you the opportunity to give, and now you're judging this person as to what he's going to do with the money. That's not for you to do. You said you were a giver. Now give. I don't care what it is. You need to give.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so first work on yourself. It's personal development. Second, if we were raised as a child to listen to our heart, which is our intuition, which is God, you start to listen when you meet that person and things start to happen that aren't quite right. Typically, people know it, man and woman. You start to feel it in your heart. You start to feel it. It's like, this isn't right. I'm not feeling good. But our ego takes over. Our ego says, you can handle this. You can do it, weather the storm. We're going to be one of those couples that, you know, stand the test of time, and we'll be married for the rest of our life. And, you know, because you have a goal in mind, but the joy in your life starts to diminish because you're not listening to your heart. So with that, you know, the other person, hopefully you've found somebody who's equally yoked. And that's what it says in the Bible. Do not pair up with somebody who's not equally yoked. And what that means is having faith. If both of you have faith, then you're working toward the same goal. And your heart can become yoked, and you work through all of those, that dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, that's, yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. So that's what you would tell someone if they found something not exactly right in their relationship in terms of, you know, in terms of actual dysfunction that you could recognize. Is that what you would say to them?
You know what? The best way to find out what's going on is to ask questions. I find a lot of times that the problem lies in control. You know, the husband, let's just scenario. The husband is working toward a dream.
Right.
And he really wants to be an entrepreneur.
All right.
The wife is very uncomfortable with this. You know, we're talking about her security. You know, what are they going to live on? She's not trusting him.
Okay.
And so she doesn't believe in him. And so therefore she's saying, no, you have to get a job. You need to have money. We need to do this. We need to blah, 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 blah. And so now, you know what I'm saying? She's trying to control the situation.
Okay.
And when she's out of control, problems arise. And the husband gets tired of it. You know, he's just like, wow, 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 wow. And you know, you shut down because you're not being encouraged. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, I think so. I just heard Charlie Brown for a moment when you did that. That's very funny. But okay, I mean, I think that's a lot of truth going on there. So so continue on with that. So what happens next?
So what happens next? Okay, what happens next in the relationship if there's dysfunction?
Yeah, well, I mean, what happens?
Well, okay.
How do you help a couple through that?
Okay. We're assuming this couple is coming to me. A lot of times, couples, their ego is so high, they won't seek help. So, you know, that's the problem. Or what happens is she goes to her friends, he goes to his friends, and, of course, they're siding with, you know, whichever side, and there's no result. It's just
You can't be more accurate right now than I mean, that's exactly what happens. That is exactly right.
Mhm. And you know, and also though, it really depends on the professional you go to. You know, we're all human beings. We all have different perspectives. It doesn't mean that, you know, because you're going to a counselor, that counselor is right for you. Their personality, their thought process, their philosophies may not be what you're looking for. So have the courage to walk out and say, this is not working for me. You know, and we all need that. I mean, whether it's a counselor or a mentor, somebody who's helping us, you have to know when you're equally yoked. It's like, all right, now I'm getting some help. I love this person. I'm sticking with you. You know, and heaven help you. You gotta, you know what, you see that life preserver, you gotta hold on.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have some questions for you. I wanna take a quick break again. But I have a couple of questions for you concerning this particular subject and children again. In terms of going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So just prepare for this one, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Percival's Place.
Welcome back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com. Here's Percy Dyer.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Percival's Place. So, Merrily, here's my question for you. I have a real issue with going to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they're always, well, I forget which one of them. I always get it confused, but I know one of them can prescribe medicine. And I don't like the fact that they like to medicate people up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, you know, the children that they're trying to medicate or people that they're actually trying to medicate, you know, I really have an issue with it. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that the medication doesn't work or it shouldn't be prescribed, but, it just seems to me that as soon as they get the opportunity, you know, it's like, yeah, take a little bit of this and, you know, and everything will be okay. I'm like, you know,
isn't
what?
That horrible?
That's horrible. That's not the way it really should be. You know, mm-hmm. You know, when, back in the turn of the 20th century, you know, castor oil was the, and everybody knows me who knows I talk about castor oil all the time. It was the, it was the medication for anything and everything that was ailing you. But, you know, we don't use castor oil anymore because it tastes like sin. So,
right.
You know, but they've come up with all of these little other things that, you know, you should be taking because, you know, you have a little, you have a dysfunctional, issue here. If, you know, if you take this, then, you're going to be fine. And, it's just not, it doesn't seem to be the way to go. But what do you think?
All right. Well, what do I think is really the question, because I am absolutely no authority on either one of those sciences. So, I agree with you. You know, I do not believe in the medication, but again, you know, I'm sure there's people out there who maybe really need it. You know, I really don't want to be the judge of that. I don't know.
I agree with you. I think it's a thing that can be used, you know, sometimes. But it just seems to me that this seems to be overprescribing.
Well, you know what? Okay, and I mean, and I could be wrong. Just my opinion. But I feel like if you see that somebody has their certificate hanging on the wall that says psychologist or psychiatrist, obviously they have more authority than the patient, the person walking in, so they know
right.
best.
Right.
But, okay, before walking into the psychologist or the psychiatrist's office, that person probably is self-diagnosing their problem. You know, they're making a bigger issue of it than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to a higher authority.
Right.
I hope I don't step on any toes, but, you know, that could possibly happen. That they go to a higher authority saying, okay, I really need medication, doctor. I, you know, this is what's going on with me and da, 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 da. And I can't. So that could be, it could be a very simple issue if we back up the problem. And instead mm-hmm. of having that person self-diagnose, if they were talking to the right person that was asking the right questions, medication would never even come to play.
Yeah.
I've spoken, you know, with people on the verge, you know, of talking suicide and
uh-huh.
talking them out of that
uh-huh.
simply by giving them a reality check of, you know, of their intent, you know, why they're doing that. And, you know, all of a sudden, again, it's changing their state immediately.
Sure.
It's like, huh? What? Like, why are you asking me these questions? You know,
right.
because I'm not playing into it at that moment.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I agree with you as far as the medication. I really don't like that at all. I'm such a natural health freak, you know, homeopathic. Let's try to do
yeah.
everything from the earth and what God gave us.
Right.
So I'm with you there.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, I don't mind stepping on toes because that's what I do. but... For me, I just think that the United States is over medicated. And I'll say that from my Jamaican heritage, you know, this country is over medicated. And even some of the natural things that they have, they don't know what to do with. So, you know, I have issues with just over medicating just for the sake of doing it. And some of these people, Not all of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, again,
right.
I think if you have the ability to prescribe a medicine for somebody and it helps them, you know, then it's fine. I have no issue with that. But there are those out there, and anybody can challenge me, because you're going to wind up losing the argument. There are people out there who overprescribe, and because they're getting money under the table from the prescription, and that's the bottom line. That's what it's all about for some people, not for everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. I know good doctors out there who give medicine and prescribe medicine, and it's for the right reason. So, you know, they know who they are, and I have no issues with them. But the other ones out there to get that money, and they know who they are too. So, you know, I'm just calling them out.
There's all kinds of people out there. You know, there's the hypochondriacs too that you know want all that medication.
Absolutely,
they have all these ailments, and they need that. And again, that comes from core dysfunction. you don't need all that attention through medication. You know, the lack of love and care, you know, interaction is missing. And so however that child grows up to find what they're looking for, which is, you know, love and affection and attention, they're going to get it somehow or another, positive or negative.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right. And so with all these entities that you talk about, I totally agree. We can't control the world. We can't control, you know, the ugliness that's out there, I'll call it. What I like to do is I conduct myself in a positive. I can control my world. And that's all I can do. You know, so I pick and choose the characteristics I want to live out. And in that, every single day, I am happy, living in joy. And this doesn't mean that I don't have my battles. Believe me, I have challenges that, you know, really test me. But in the end, you know, and I'll let myself cry it out and just let myself be in the moment and then just say, you know what? That's enough. You're suffering because of the wrong perspective. That's all it is. Now change your perspective and move on. And that's how you get through it.
And I agree. That's right. That's right. And that's sound advice. You know, I have those battles as well. You know, I have those battles. I want to administer castor oil to several people that, you know, that really make me upset, that really make me mad. I just want to, you know, grab them by the toe, administer castor oil and feel better. But I know that I can't do that. So.
Exactly.
So I have to calm down and just go on about my business.
You have to stick to your guns, to your character.
Yeah.
You can't let the misbehavior of somebody else dictate your own.
Yeah.
You know,
but I do miss those days when, you know, castor oil was administered to a lot of people. Oh my goodness. All right. So listen, again, tell the people where they can reach you.
Okay. Well, they can reach me two ways. One of them is by phone. You can call 909-908-4592. And then you can also email me at ask@marilee.com.
Okay.
I'm sorry, at my mentor, marilee.com.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. So let's for the last few minutes of the show, let's talk about the event that you went to, the Secret Knock, before, you know, because we didn't get a chance to really talk about that the last time. So we got a few minutes now. Let's talk about that. Tell us more about that event and, you know, who you were with and all that kind of business and your experience there.
Okay. Let's see. That was a lot. Okay. Where do I start? The people I was with. Okay. Well, it was Greg Reed's event, and it was a smaller event. So it was about 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's by an invitation only. And I was just thrilled to be invited. There was no way I was going to miss that. He did not tell us who was going to be there. So basically, you know, again, you're working off faith here. But you have to know where, you know, you have to know Greg, and he's part of the Napoleon Hill Foundation and the circle that he works in. So, you know, yeah, so when you're talking about Sharon Lecter and Don Green, I mean, you can't go wrong. Right. Napoleon Hill, yeah, Thinking Grow Rich. You know, if you're on that page, then you need to be at Secret Knock.
Sure.
And I tell you, the way he conducted that whole, gosh, I think it was 3 days, and then fourth day, there was a bonus. But for 3 days, you know, we still didn't know who the speakers were going to be, who's going to come on, and every single one of them basically had a story to prove the law of attraction so that you understand Napoleon Hill's book, you know, and how things came to be. Amazing people. And each story, you just sit there and you think, wow, what am I doing? You know, even wherever you're at in your life, you have to reflect and say, you know, on any 24 hours, I could be doing more toward what it is I really want and be less of a victim of circumstance. You know, stop working for that paycheck. Invest more in your children. Understand the job at hand with the children. It's a blessing. When God gives you that right to raise a child, it's something that cannot be taken lightly. That is your greatest contribution to life. You know, it's that next generation. So take it seriously. Nobody's going to remember the job you did and how much money you made. But that child, that's different. As you see that child grow and blossom to be all the beautiful words you spoke to him or her, that's what brings you the greatest joy. That's what life is all about. So, that's the secret knock. Sorry, got off on a tangent there.
That's so, all right. It's a beautiful tangent now.
No, go ahead. Thank you. So, you know, with Secret Knock, you know, we had, the millionaire mom, she's from Canada. She had a compelling story of major challenges with finances, you know, her relationship, and then her child was diagnosed with an illness that he had, like, basically 2 months to live. And, faced with those challenges, you know, talk about a change of state. You know, the electric company is threatening to turn off her electricity, and they're looking at each other going, what the heck are we going to do? Talk about a state of panic. So in a matter of, you know, I mean, like literally overnight, she changed her situation to being able to provide electricity so that her son could stay on the machines that he needed to, give him the care that he wanted to, and ultimately became a millionaire. Totally changed her life. And we all have that power. I mean, you hear about stories, you know, just in a state of panic where, you know, a person can all of a sudden realize this strength and lift the car off a person or, you know, whatever it takes in that moment. It's because we have that power within us. We just don't access it because we're too caught up in our brain telling us we can't do it.
Right.
We're limited. We've grown up in fear, you know, fear of failure. You know, I don't know how to get there. So I'm just going to do what I know how to do. I'm going to, you know, get up when my alarm tells me to. I'm going to clock in. I'm going to gather my checkup and pay what I can and do the same thing for the rest of my days. And there's greatness within all of us. And the basic problem is we've lost faith and we've taken the path of fear.
Wow, that is fantastic. So what else was going on at that event? Who else did you see?
Let's see, Nick Halleck. Nick Halleck is referred to as the Thrillionaire. And this man is incredible. And now I don't know them all personally, so I can't tell you everything about them. But these people, their stories were so close to us, literally, you know, a table away. My son and he were talking about watches face-to-face. And this is after being at a different event where I heard him speak again. There were 800 people at that event, and I couldn't relate at all, you know, because his story was so magnificent about sleeping in pyramids and, you know, going to the moon, his aspirations of going to the moon and Land Rovers and climbing mountains and things that the average person just doesn't do, especially at his age. I mean, he's in his mid-30s or early 30s. So, you know, you talk like that going, how the heck get to be that person at such an early age. And right. the thing about Secret Knock is with all of these people, you know, you could go up to these icons and say, you know, share with me, ask them a question. You know, Don Green was there. That meant a lot to me because I'm a big Napoleon Hill fan.
So, right.
You know, with being involved with Greg and that, I'm there. You count me in every time. So I listened to him, Sharon Lecter. You know, I was able to speak with Sharon Lecter and, you know, have her autograph my book. Greg autographed my book. I have my Outwitting the Devil with Don Green and Sharon Lecter and Greg Reed on it. I mean, these things are precious.
Yeah. But how's Sharon doing?
Sharon is awesome. She, you know what, she's a very powerful woman, but she's so open, and her speech was so inviting that mm-hmm. I went up to her and I said, Sharon, I want to sit at your table. You know, I want to sit at your kitchen table. I want you to be my cheerleader. And she looked at me and she gave me the card and she goes, you know what, call me. And, you know, and I want to be there. And it's saying, you know, who else was there that was really funny, and I love this, I have to share this, was Kathy Lee Crosby. And the reason this is funny to me is because there is a mega memory test out there that, and I could recite it to you if we had time, but it mentions Kathy Lee in it. And so I had to go up to her because that's just how the universe works. You know, of all places, here's Kathy Lee.
Right. Right.
And so I went up, right? And I went up to her and I said, Kathy, you know, I have this thing, you're in it. And I started to say, and she got so excited. She goes, you have to send that to me. And so now, you know, and I've been texting her back and forth and stuff. And that's what Secret Knock does. It makes people who, you know, have done so much and accomplished so much real. People you can touch, people, you know, you realize that we're all the same. We all need the same things. It's not about our bank account and what we do. It's about relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what life is all about. I just love it.
Of course. And, you know, and some of those people I happen to know, so I'm really glad that you had a good time with them. And, you know, it really does. Yeah. It gives me a good, warm feeling because I know all of those people, and they're very sweet and they're very nice. And exactly, when you meet them, you definitely get the personal feeling. You don't you no longer think of them as somebody, you know, that's bigger than life. You know that we're all just the same. So that's the rest, really, the point. And I congratulate you on that. But anyway, so anyway, we're going to have to sign off today because the show is really ending now. But Merrilee, we're going to bring you back on another time. But I want to thank you for coming back on the show and giving my guest
the invite.
I'm sorry?
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I said I appreciate the invite, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well,
and
I'm glad.
And your listeners enjoyed the show this week.
I'm sure that they have, and I'm sure they're going to give me a lot of feedback. So
love it.
Thank you guys for joining us, and come next week again to another episode of Percival's Place.